This is General Galen Shaw. If you can hear that little squeaky funny voice, you hear that?
Yeah.
That's what I hear some nights when I'm not sleeping well and I've had just a little too much to drink. I wake up hearing that. That's why I take a boner pill every night. Yes, the boner pill will get rid of that headache and get rid of that, you know, blood flow that you don't, the bad blood flow. I'm trying to say a commercial here that I don't like the name of the product. Look, if you, either you guys are, I'll do it. I take a boner pill, but it's not for what you think, all right? Boner pills are headache medicine. It's headache medicine. Please, God, someone listen to me.
General Galen Shaw endorses the boner pill. You should, too.
God damn it. Either you want to do the commercial or you don't. Well, I like them. I like the endorsement, Bunny. Well, then do it right. All right, I'm General Galen Shaw. I take a boner pill every night. So I don't have to hear these voices in my head after I've had too much to drink it, or drank it, drinked it. Too much to drink. Yes. Your Majesty walking through the magistrate. God damn, there goes that 2 Chainz again. I can Phil Henry Show. And turn down the what there, featuring DJ Khalid, or excuse me, DJ Snake. And that's 2 Chainz. This guy 2 Chainz really tightens my jaws.
What's for?
Well, what do you mean, what's for?
Well, I mean, why?
Why? Because I don't like the way he... 2 Chainz! You know, I might even get used to some of this music, but when I hear that clown... Boy.
Well, that's the style, General.
Yeah.
2 Chainz! All I want to do is just sit, you know, stage, right near the stage when he comes out, and when he goes, 2 Chainz, I go, we know already, you jackass, just...
That's the style of the singing. You can't change anything about that, General Shaw. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show this morning. We're going to bring on Chris Norton. We don't hear too much from Chris these days. We've had so many other things going on. Chris has had a lot of things going on. Before we get into that, we want to also congratulate again Scott and Sarah, otherwise known as Thevin Thranger.
See, there you go.
Yeah. I don't do it on purpose.
Well, that's my understanding.
That I don't do it on purpose. So, congratulations to Scott and Sarah in Santa Cruz, California. They're going to come down for next Thursday night show featuring myself there at the Hollywood Improv, the World of Phil Henry. And they're going to have a VIP package to that show. And I asked him, I said, dude, you live in Santa Cruz, which is up the coast, you know, a few hundred miles. And he said, you know, I'm self-employed. I work from home. It's all good. I said, that is a beautiful thing. For all I know, this guy lives, you know, like on a cliff house overlooking the swelling surf of the El Pacifico with a dog, with a really foxy wife, and just, you know, glassed in and, you know.
In other words, he's kicking it, and you gave this guy free ticket. Oh, God.
Well, we don't know. On the line is Chris Norton from, Chris, this is a dance club that you're in, right?
No, I'm at the Rusty Pellet Grind.
What's all the music?
The music you're hearing right now is just the sound system. I mean, they're opening up right now, and I generally come in at a cocktail in the morning. I'm not working today.
So you go into the Rusty Pellet at 10 o'clock in the morning, huh?
Mr. Henry, yeah, I do. But, I mean, keep in mind, I'm 28 years old, you know, so I've got a long life ahead of me. And so I have, I can have a cocktail, go over here to Denny's for a Mexican scramble for breakfast, and I'll head over probably to, later on, probably go to TGIF or probably go to Josh Slocum and have a burger or have maybe a Cobb salad, and come back here to Rusty Pellet and have another cocktail, you know.
Now, I've got to have a Cobb salad, but I put it in the Phil file.
Chris, this is Margaret Gray. We will have to put Cobb salad in our Phil file.
You come on.
That's all right, Mr. Henry. I understand. I mean, it is kind of a feather in my cap when she has to put anything that I may have mentioned on your program in a Phil file. So,
well, it's a silly-ass thing, and so Cobb salad, huh?
Yes. God, you're the only one that doesn't get it, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you gotta understand.
Phil, I respect you and everything, but I do have to say that Cobb salad can't be misinterpreted.
Well, Chris, for you, everything is a feather in your cap when it has to do with something sexual, and I'm not knocking it, man. You know, it's your life and it's your business, but I'm just saying. And now you have a restaurant that you're opening up, which is called Cess It's Cess-Tess.
Oh, it's called Cess-Tess. What is
it? Oh, I'm sorry. Sex-Tex, right?
Yes, it's Sex-Tex. Why did you say it that way?
God, that's not really weird, Miss Area.
I'm sorry. I was misreading something. I was reading it actually off of something else. So it's called Tex Mex?
No, it's called Tex. It's called Tess-Cess. It's called Tess-Mess. I mean, Tess is Cess-Tess. God, I can't. You know, you're confusing me because I've got... what it's about is...
All right, if I may...
No, you just butcher it up, Mr. Harry. I don't want you doing it. It's called Cess-Tess.
Sex-Tex.
Yes, sir. And what it is it's sessing. Instead of just testing, it's sessing. So you're talking about sex.
Okay, so instead of just texting, you're sexting.
Yeah, I mean, what am I speaking? God, you're acting like I'm speaking Copa, you know, like I'm speaking what they speak in Copenhagen.
Yeah, that Danish?
Yeah, it sounds like I'm speaking Danish.
No, I want to be clear. Because it's a very difficult name. Now, just if you don't mind, you name the restaurant. I know, Chris, that there is traditional Tex-Mex cuisine, right?
Oh, no, it's Mestes. See, that's the thing. You got that wrong. A lot of people think it's Tex-Mex, but most people know it as Mestes. Okay, if you enjoy the Mestes food.
What is he talking about, the Mestes? I don't understand this at all. What you're saying there, Norton, could only be only the Molochs of the future time machine. A nightmare world like that is the only world that has a shot at understanding the swill that is pouring out of your nose and mouth. God damn.
All right, hold on, General.
No, I don't.
What's up with him?
What's up with me? What do you mean? What do you mean it's called Mestes?
I didn't say that.
He's saying Mex-Tex.
It's Tex-Mex, is my understanding.
No, it's not Tex-Mex. It's Mestes. You see, a lot of people don't know that, right? So, that's just my information, all right? So, what I'm trying to say is, Phil, that...
All right, so this is based upon the cuisine that we know of as Mex-Tex, what you call Mex-Tex.
What everybody calls Mestes. God damn.
Just, Phil...
All right, Mex-Tex.
Yeah.
Okay. I you're right. I'm wrong. I used to call it Tex-Mex, and I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if you spent your whole life calling Mestes Tex-Mex, what a fruit in the hat.
You called Mr. Henry a fruit.
Well, I mean, he fruited out, man. If you're talking about, you know, if you're talking about Mestes that everyone loves, and Mestes, by the way, you know, because of my involvement in adult film, right, Mestes is all, is very accessible. I would say that if you are involved in the cess industry, if you act in cess films, adult films involve a lot of cess, or if you do have a lot of cess in your life, or you have a lot of cessual energy, then definitely Mestes is the food.
All right, so Mex-Tex is the food, but what you're opening up is a restaurant that will feature Mex-Tex food, but the name of the restaurant is Sex-Tex, right?
Yes, that's exactly right, Mr. It's called Cess-Tess, and it's a restaurant. What will have? Wow, there's Carrie Kasem. Man, I mean, what a slamming hot chick she is. You know?
Yeah, Carrie Kasem is on, right? Yeah, let's have some respect. She's in a court fight here for the right to care for her father, Casey Kasem. There she is on television.
Yeah, I mean, she is slamming hot. You gotta be. Are you kidding? You're not allowing me to talk about the sexual energy that comes off her?
No, not right now, no. I'm talking about your restaurant.
Yes, sir, God.
Well, Phil, I mean...
No, we're not going to talk about how slamming hot she is. She's talking about her father, you know.
I didn't hear her talk about...
I mean on TV.
Well, Mr. Henry, she's on TV. We're on the radio right now.
Just continue on with your discussion here of the Mex-Tex restaurant.
I will, Ms. Henry, but I want to just... Can I say something? Because I am concerned.
Well, about what?
About your health. This is what you said, Ms. Henry. You said, you know, talk to me about a mess, test, food. It sounded like you're having a stroke.
Yeah, it did sound like you're stroking out.
Like I'm what?
It's I don't know if you're going to have a stroke, Ms. Henry. You're going, yeah, tell me about mess, test, and assess. God, man, you know.
Phil, we don't... These young people just want to make sure you're not stroking out and listening to one side with your mouth going, rah, rah, rah. You ever my cousin? Would that happen to him?
Yes, I know, I know. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get straight what you're talking about because I have... You're right, Chris. I've been wrong all of these years calling it Tex-Mex. You're right. I was wrong. It's actually called Mex-Tex. So coupling the Mex-Tex cuisine that you're going to be serving...
All right, well, hold on. Let me do it because I think I do it way better than you.
Let Chris do it. He knows what he's doing, Phil.
I know what I'm doing.
Yes, yes, of course you do. Remember, I want Cobb salad.
Give me that. Give me the filth file. I don't want to hear any more additions to the filth file like Cobb salad.
Excuse me, that's my call. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
There, and I just added that on. You asked for it, I didn't.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Mr. Harry, you want to quit fooling around and paddling it? You always know what I'm saying?
I'm not paddling it, pal. And I'm not fooling around. I'm trying to listen to you.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying.
Well, Phil, he just thought you were paddling it and maybe, you know, spanking it.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right, I mean,
You just said, yeah. That's why everyone thinks that...
Shut up!
Ah, damn, man. Are you all right?
Yes! But only for about 5 more seconds.
Excuse me.
Want me to leave?
You guys are welcome to stay.
Well, I'm going to go out and... I always do a wipe check. I guess that's a bad thing.
Jesus Christ, Mark, you got to bring that up?
I always do a wipe check this...
You're welcome to stay if you shut up.
What about me?
Yeah, you too.
All right, so what I'm simply saying, Mr. Henry, is the new cuisine... Hey, Terry, is this music we're going to be playing when we open up the mess test? Yeah, we're talking about mess test. Yeah, this music, I mean, it's good. I like it because I can dance. Let me go out. Can you hold on, Mr. Henry, for just a second?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to go out on the dance floor here. I got to try a few moves because on account of music.
It sounds like there's people in the restaurant there.
Yeah, it's alive. It's just a crew. Yeah, yeah. What I'm doing here, I'm doing a toe. The toe goes in. So I got one foot stationary, and the other foot is toeing, is the toe, the toe, the toe, the toe. So it's toe out, toe in. Yeah. Okay, now comes ass out, ass in. Ass out, ass in, toe, toe. Now I'm going to do a spin. I'll do the pirouette, split. Okay, good. Yeah, I still got it. Split. Now, anybody got a paperback, man? I want to turn the pages with the cheeks of my ass.
Okay, fine, man. Can we get back to the restaurant?
Fine. Turn it down, man. Turn it down, man. Hey, Terry. Steve. Hey, Steve, turn it down, yeah. So, what do you want to know?
What I want to know is, what's the name of the restaurant going to be?
The restaurant is going to be called Sess Test. And we will feature a mess test. And you can also sess. You're sessing. You're not testing.
You're sexting, not texting.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Now, when are you going to open a restaurant?
Right now, we're still capitalizing it. We're still getting our partners together. I am going to be involved in this with another adult film producer so that we have kind of a, if you will, Mr. Henry, we're going to have an all-star ownership lineup. Billy Beef is probably going to be Billy Beef or Bob Meat will probably be one of them. Is that guy laughing?
What are you laughing at, Phil? I just wanted to ask you a question. Is one of the producers involved in this venture named Bob Meat?
Yeah. What? God, it's a stage name.
Phil, that's very common.
Yeah, no, I know it's common. I didn't know that there was a guy out there named Bob Meat. You know, it's...
Yeah, M-E-A-T.
Oh, really? Yeah, I never would have guessed. Okay, Chris.
Well, I mean, you won't be a smartass about it.
But why do you want to be a smartass, Phil? I'm being a smartass because you don't think that sounds funny. Hi, I'm the producer of the movie here, Bob Meat.
Well, I don't think he walks up to people with a mouth, you know, to one side going, Bob Meat. I'm sure he says it in a very professional way. Right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I've met Bob. I mean, when we first met Bob, he was capitalized in one of my films. Which was Free and Wild in Her Hills. You remember that one, Phil?
No, I don't remember that one. I heard you talking about it.
Okay, Phil, we get it. You don't watch porn.
No, I watch porn. I just, you know, I didn't see that one.
All right, well, I mean, this guy capitalized when I won a film. And when he came up to me, he went, hey, hello, my name is Bob Mee. And I went, hi, I'm Chris Norton. And he said, you know, I like your film. And I said, I have an idea for a, you know, mess test restaurant. He goes, really? I say, yeah, I think I'd like to be a mess test restaurant. Well, it's going to be a cess test. I'm going to name of it. He goes, what do you mean?
And okay, Chris, I got to break because I don't understand anything you're saying.
Talk about test back.
You just hung up on a young man who's going places.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure he's going places. No question about that.
Yeah, well, he's probably going to go down Rue Sissy Sis.
I don't like anyone making fun of that man's speech impediment.
Well, if it's a speech impediment, then I understand.
It's a sinus problem. He ain't got a speech impediment. All that guy needs to do is blow his freaking nose. He's still packing his nose. It's 2014, and that guy is still jamming everything he can find up his nose. Chris Norton, with a brand new restaurant, it's going to be based on the very, very well-known Mex-Tex cuisine. Only it's not going to be called Mex-Tex. It's going to be a restaurant that features Wi-Fi or some bullcrap where you can message chicks in the other booth so you can sext these chickses. You know, these chickses. Listen to me.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
Yeah, Mr. Andy, you said chickses.
Yeah, because I'm hanging around you boxheads.
Oh, it's their fault.
Yes.
Let the record show that Phil blamed you guys because he talks like he's inbred.
Yeah, the record will show.
Get out of here with that. Now, so the restaurant is going to feature sexting, which is texting sex stuff. And that'll be incorporated into the name of the restaurant, Sext-Tex. What? That doesn't say anything to me.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that doesn't say anything. It's a restaurant called Sext-Tex. Who's going to go eat there? I guess single people, but is that going to bring in the money?
Well, what are you saying, Phil? It keeps out the family money? It's not a family place, Phil.
All right. I mean, you know, depending upon what kind of service. Are they doing dinner service?
Well, yes.
I mean, are they going to do, like, lunch? Who are they letting in there? Are you going to take your kid in there? I'm not going to take my kids into any restaurant that says sex.
Not going to say it. He said it's going to say cess.
That's him, but he's got a nasal. His nose is plugged up.
What?
It ain't going to say cess. It's going to say sext. As in text. He's got a plugged up nose. Do you dig? Don't you remember anything, bud?
Yeah. I know what a guy is now.
Yeah. That whole damn phone interview, I couldn't understand a word. And then that guy has the balls to say, I sound like I'm having a stroke? This guy is all like, mess, test, mess.
Phil, I've never heard you rip Norton the way you're ripping him right now. Maybe he needs it. Don't get me wrong. Maybe he needs it. But you're ripping that guy a new ass. And I think it's probably beneath you to tear into some mental deficient who can't talk good, and he's all with the mess and tests, you know?
Well, what would you say to a guy like that if he were in your army?
Oh, I'd Article 15 his ass right out.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But I would definitely Article 15 him. And then I would Article 8 him.
What's that mean?
I don't know. What is it with you guys asking all these questions?
Shouldn't you know this stuff if you're a general?
Let me tell you, if I get a guy in my unit who's with the cess tests and the mess tests, you know what I'd say? Don't ask, don't tell, buddy, if it was the old days, you know.
Yeah, well, fortunately.
Fortunately, those days are behind us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's something behind you, all right.
Yeah, real funny. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show. We're going to rock this mother. We'll be right back. Let's listen to a little bit of Nicki Minaj and her Pills and Poisons. And coming back to wrap up and to wipe up and to clean up.
Pills and potions.
You are listening to the sound, the voice of the God that the terrorists prayed to before they flew the planes.
You shut up. All right, Chelsea Grin with one called Clockwork. And that is from their new album, Ashes to Ashes.
Yeah.
Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. The more you guys diss this Chelsea Grin, the more I like it. The more I'm going to want to play it.
Well, that's the way you are. You're a recalcitrant little boy. You react as a child.
Maybe, but that's kind of where I'm coming from. All right, Cliff King is on the line with us. And Cliff, a trainer from, Cliff has been a trainer from Los Alamitos, California, and points north and south. Has been involved in the quarter horse business and was also commenting on the opening stages of the Triple Crown when we were talking with Cliff about the Derby and about the Preakness. And Cliff, always good to have you on the line.
Cliff King, nice to be with you, Phil. You know, I'm everyone's friend and everyone can trust Cliff King.
And are you still, are you having breakfast this morning?
I'm going to have breakfast. Angeline is here, and she always takes me over.
And who is Angeline?
Angeline, she drives you, right, Cliff?
Angeline drives me, and she always drives me over. I have a great time, and I've always been very blessed with friends I've had. And I do a lot of charity work.
Now, are you still training horses?
I also help out at the Boy Scout. Not the Boy Scouts, but the Girl Scouts. And
are you still training horses?
I also do some race car driving, too, in my spare time.
Right, sir, but are you still training horses?
What is that you said?
Are you still training horses?
Am I still training horses?
That's what you did in your professional life.
Yes, I did. Yes, and I still do. I still do. No, I don't train horses. I can't be around horses because I got kicked in the head, if you remember that.
I remember you had an accident. I just thought the last time we talked to you, you said you were still training horses.
I thought I was training horses, but it was a fitment.
This is General Shaw, Cliff. How are you?
Hey, General. I'm very good.
And so you're not involved in thoroughbred racing?
Oh, I'm involved in thoroughbred racing, but Phil asked me, do I train horses? No, I don't. But I am involved in thoroughbred racing.
Well, what do you do in thoroughbred racing?
Well, I bet on the horses the way anyone else will. I'd love to sit near the paddock and...
So you're retired?
I'm retired, yes.
Okay. Talking to Cliff King. So did you watch the Triple Crown? Did you see the final races?
I did. I saw them. And I'm everyone's friend, so I go from town to town. And I visit and knock on doors and go in and...
I want to ask a question here, Cliff. I don't mean to interrupt you, but what do you mean you go from town to town?
That's what I said. I'm Cliff King, everyone's friend. I go from town to town, knock on doors, go inside, watch the race, spread a bit of good cheer. I leave a little bit of the Johnny Appleseed. We'll call it Johnny Appleseed. What Johnny Appleseed did is he spread the apple seeds. But what I do is I just take out of my little satchel that I always carry with me some dust, some dirt from the roadways and from the areas, the fields, and I sprinkle it in the home that I'm in, and then I leave, and I go from town to town.
Are you walking or are you driving?
Today? I think someone's going to pick me up.
No, I mean, when you go from town to town.
No, I'm driving. Hey, General, get a load of him. Where'd you find this guy anyway?
Yeah, well, Phil sometimes doesn't get it.
No, I'm driving.
All right, but I mean, you're saying you're going from town to town with a satchel of... What do you have?
I have a satchel that approximates the Johnny Appleseed. Only it's not appleseed, it's dirt. And I sprinkle it in the house. See, my whole goal is to be friends with everyone. And no matter where and no matter how, I want to be friends with everyone. And I want to spread the word of Cliff King, a friend of all. Horse racing and thoroughbred racing is a lot of fun. They tell me I used to be a trainer. Okay, fine, I won't argue with them. I don't remember any of it, but...
You have no memory of being a horse trainer.
Not now, not today, but generally by noon.
I know, a lot of the cobwebs clear out because I was talking with his daughter. Is Angeline there?
Yeah, Angeline's going to come pick me up and take me over to Eggs and Things.
Now, Eggs and Things, you have breakfast there in the morning, right?
No, I have dinner there at night. Yes, Eggs and... What, are you going to go to a place like that?
Hey, Phil, what? You're not going to go to Eggs and Things and have dinner. Jesus H.
Never sorry.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Phil, I have nothing against you, but I've had better... the kid that interviewed me, Danny Bonabed, Danny Ducci. Do you remember this guy, Danny Ducci?
Danny Bonaducci?
That's him right there. He did a better interview with me, and I don't even think he got into work that day. I think he interviewed me from his house. And I thought he was on the air, and he said, no, I'm still in bed. And I said, are you going to be on the air? And he said, what's it to you? And I remembered seeing him take that guy and drop him on the stage floor, just... pulled him over his head. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, well, I had that in my mind, and I didn't push the issue. But Danny Ducci, what is it?
Danny Bonaducci is the guy that interviewed you.
Danny Bonaducci, great interview, but I didn't want to be dropped on a floor on my head or anything else, so that's when I did what I did, and I do the things that I do. I've got, can I get some coffee, please? Do the things that I do.
Well, so when's your daughter going to come and get you?
She just picked me up. I'm here.
You're at Eggs and Things?
Yeah.
When did she pick you up? Because 2 minutes ago, you said you were waiting for her.
Well, I guess she picked me up between then and now. What's the story?
Phil, obviously, do the math.
Do the math, man.
Phil, you got to do the math.
Yeah, do the math, Mr. Henry.
Do the math, Mr. Henry.
I know, I'll do the math. Obviously, she picked you up, and you live something like two... I didn't hear... That TV that's on in the background, what is that?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, we're talking to Cliff King, and he is the former trainer, although he doesn't remember really doing any of that, and a thoroughbred trainer. We're commenting, although we haven't really, on the Triple Crown. Cliff, you wanted to mention to me, we had talked earlier, before you came on the air, about your physical fitness regimen.
Yes.
Now, you're 75, 76 years old.
I'm 77 years of age, and I am a friend to everyone. I go from town to town. And I keep myself in the peak of health by drinking pure rainwater and eating cut broccoli and cauliflower and that kind of thing. I also eat the lean, very, very lean, almost you can see through the tuna steak. I don't eat beef, I eat tuna steak, and it's very lean to the point where if it was a dress, you'd see everything. If a woman wore the tuna that I eat, well, first of all, the smell would be the same. What?
Nothing.
That was absolutely... I'm getting up and leaving, Cliff. I think you're a fraud.
Suit yourself.
That was pretty damn bad.
What was?
What you just said was pretty damn bad. If a woman wore a dress made out of the tuna that I eat, first of all, the smell would be the same.
Right. You didn't let me finish. What I was about to say would redeem the first half of my sentence, but you didn't let me finish. She gets up, she leaves. General, what do you think?
Well, I'm taken back as well.
You're taking what back?
I'm taken aback.
I was going to say, Phil, if a woman wore a dress out of the tuna that I eat, not only would the smell still be the same, but you could see right through it and you'd get an eyeful.
Okay, how does that redeem the first half of that sentence?
I feel it does, because I think it... Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I think it does.
Why?
Because I just do.
Yeah, you gotta move on, Mr. I don't think this man is...
You know what, Cliff? I think you got a problem.
Well, maybe I've got a problem, but I don't see anybody here, and I don't certainly hear anyone there that can take, for instance, one of those really heavy metal posts that they use to string the velvet ropes between at the nightclubs. Take one of those and break it over their own skull. Can you?
Look, Cliff.
Can you?
Cliff, you know, we're not about to have you break something over your head.
Can you, General? I don't think you can.
No, I can't. I'm not a maniac.
Well, that's a very good way of putting it. That's a nice way of stepping outside of the spotlight and putting on someone else.
I wouldn't mind seeing you do it there, Cliff.
What's that?
I wouldn't mind seeing you do it.
Right there, Dickman steps up to the plate. Anybody else? Any takers? I'm taking all bets. I'm taking all the action. Anybody else?
I'll take a piece of that.
How much?
$10.
All right, you, Phil?
I'm not going to bet on you breaking the thing over your head. No.
What are you giving me?
I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll give you a 3-1.
You give me 3-1 or 3-2-1?
I'll give you 3-1.
Well, what does 3-1 mean?
That is the combination to my safety deposit box. You can get in there and take everything that's in it if I'm not able to break this over my head.
Well, what have you got in it?
I have no idea. I haven't been in there in years.
Okay, you know, I'm going to hang the phone up unless you get to... Just break the thing over your head and we're done, all right?
Okay, Phil, that's great. I'll break it over my head, go into a coma, bleed to death here on the floor of this bus station.
You're at a bus station?
Yes, I'm at a bus station. I'm waiting for the bus. Angeline's going to pick me up. She's going to take me to Fresno, and that's where we're going to then, you know, start anew. I don't know if anybody told you any of this stuff.
What are you doing at a bus station?
This is where my daughter's going to pick me up. You know, you don't have to hang up, Phil. I will. Thanks.
Wait. Hold on. You already placed a bet on this thing. Have you got that metal post there?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and break it over your head.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It won't hurt. It won't hurt. It won't hurt. It won't hurt.
Now, what are you doing?
I'm just getting myself prepared. Hold on. It won't hurt. 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 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, come on, will you?
Hold on, Phil. Are you the guy that's breaking this thing over your head, or am I doing it over mine? That's the big question. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
Did you do it?
I haven't started yet, because you guys won't shut up.
All right, will you hold on, man?
But he's breaking over his head.
He ain't breaking nothing over his head. I bet you that guy isn't at a bus station. I bet you he ain't even 75 years old. I bet you that guy was hired by you, bud. It might be one of your friends for all that. Cliff King, friend to all.
That guy's sitting on busting one of those metal poles right over the top of his head.
Yeah. You know what? I'll believe it when I see it, man. Seeing's believing.
Well, you got one right there, Phil. See it, and you can't see it when you're on the radio.
Is he done?
What?
Is he done?
Yes, he is.
Great, then I can come back in here. I think the man is vile. I think he's a fraud. I think that he...
We're going to be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show with more from Cliff King. And get on the phone with him. What's he want to do?
Yeah, Cliff? You break it over your head or what? Yeah, get out of here. Said he wants to bust it over my head. And I said, have at it, man. But then he said, yeah, he will. And then,
wait a minute, we were listening to the whole thing there. All you said was, yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I mean, just certain things don't need to be spoken, you know.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks. In the meantime, here are the Slaves, the Upgrade, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Cliff King will be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, buddy, I'm Robert Leonard, reminding you that a backstage pass, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, gets you thousands of hours of archived audio, the greatest radio show in the history of the world, the greatest radio show in the history of planet Earth, the greatest radio show of all time, right there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's the greatest value on the internet other than porn.
Yes, a backstage pass. Sure, porn's better, but second only to porn is the Phil Hendry website for value. Cash on the barrelhead, dollar for dollar value for your online subscription.
The Phil Hendry Show website. Get a 6-month or 1-year subscription. Have all access to thousands and thousands of hours of full radio shows. You can't beat it. You can't beat it with a stick. You couldn't beat it with your fists. You couldn't beat it if it was your penis.
The Phil Hendry Show website. You'll be glad you did. I'm General Shaw. Make your move. Go ahead, make it.
The Slaves and the Upgrade here on the Phil Hendry Show as we continue to waste time here with Cliff King. This is an abomination.
Well, Phil, you brought him on.
I brought the guy on because everybody loves him. All right, Cliff, you there with me?
I'm right here, Cliff King. And I will tell you that I've taken a lot from a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever had it. You know, to listen to you people.
Well, look, Cliff, you've got to come clean here, man. You're messing around. If you got to break that thing over your head, break it over your head.
Man, I'll break it over my head. Better me than you, huh?
Well, wouldn't I love to see that happen?
Yeah, well, you know what? All you got to do is step up to the plate.
Hey, Cliff, you know what, man? I'll hang up on you in about 5 seconds, and then we'll be done with you for the rest of your time on this planet. How does that feel?
Do whatever you want to do. Like, I give a shit.
Well, you knew that was going to happen.
No, I didn't know that was going to happen. What happened with this guy?
You guys challenged him and everything. Can't challenge Cliff King.
Yeah. Oh, I can't challenge Cliff King. Well, how did I know? How did I know I was on the phone with royalty?
Hello? Yeah? No. Mr. Henry doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your nothing. What about it? Says he wants to still bust it over his head. He says he... What? He says he owes you that much. But, yeah, I don't care.
Give me the phone, will you? Hey, Cliff, what are you trying to pull, huh? You know what I said. I said, listen, you're going to break it over your head. Okay, let's get Cliff back on the line here then from wherever you are. Where are you?
I told you I was in San Pedro waiting for my daughter.
You were in Fresno at a bus station waiting for your daughter. You were somewhere, you know, is that your TV that's on?
I don't hear anything.
All right, so, Cliff, go ahead.
All right, I've got here this large metal pole that I picked up out in front of this nightclub here in Long Beach last night. It's in Belmont Shores, and I put it into the trunk of my car, and I came home with it. I'm going to break it over my head. And I have gone into places like Eggs and Things. I wish I'd gone into Eggs and Things. I could talk to a young lady I love there. Her name is Genevieve, and she thinks I'm a real stud. She's 23. But I can impress her if I can break this over my head. I know she's... Genevieve, I know you're listening. Here goes.
Don't screw around, Cliff.
I'm not screwing around. Will you allow a man to get prepared for what could be the very last thing he does in this world? I'm going to break this thing over my head. It weighs, I'd say, about 30 pounds.
Why are you doing this?
To prove to you that at 76, I'm twice the man any of you are.
Well, I don't, that'll be the day, my friend.
Yeah, well, when you finally get over the stroke, General, and you can say that'll be the day without saying that'll be the day, you let me know.
That's a hot one.
Yeah, you want a hot one? I tell you what, I'll give you a hot one. I'll sew you up in those bed sheets, and I'll throw you onto a bonfire I'm going to light out here, along with all of your possessions. God damn it.
Oh, my God, General, that's violent.
Well,
all right, go ahead, Cliff.
All right, here we go.
God.
I'm sorry, but I have to feminize myself almost if I'm going to do something like this.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is a guy stalling.
Jesus, what an ass. All right, don't worry.
I did.
Who's this?
Cliff.
That's Cliff?
Oh, I'm Cliff. I did it. I'm rolling my hip.
I'm just screwing around. I haven't done it yet. Hold on.
Get out of here.
Phil, what are you doing?
I'm hanging up on the guy. And, Bud, if that guy calls back, I don't want him on the air. Do you understand?
You call him back right now.
How do you know?
I recognize the blinking light. And
give me the phone. Hey, Cliff, what are you trying to pull? I got all the comedy I need here, man. We can produce all of that we need. I don't need you. Oh, don't give me this horse dung. Don't give me this bull crap. I refuse to believe it. He's telling me that he's going to do this for charity and the lives of orphans depend on it. Bull crap. All right, here we go. Cliff King. And if you don't do it this time, man, I'm hanging up. Never again. Cliff King, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I was just messing around with Phil because people told me you could do that and Phil had a sense of humor. Apparently, they were wrong.
All right, we got the review in. Now go ahead.
And here we go.
Well, you walked right into that, you know?
Yeah, you kind of did, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I did, yeah. You know, there's a reason why they have things called producers.
Here we go again, man. You're going to blame the producer.
There's a reason why they have them. Producers are the ones that vet things. Producers are the ones that figure out whether a guy's for real or not. Producers are the ones... And for 3 weeks, this guy, Cliff King, from the time we started talking to him before the Triple Crown, it's been more than 3 weeks.
Probably it's about 2 months now.
Well, it's just about a month and a half. From the time we first started talking to this knucklehead to today, I thought there was something fishy about this guy.
Oh, well, now you say that, Phil. If you thought there was something fishy, you should have spoken up.
I don't know. I mean, we've had so many people on the air here that have been weird beyond the word weird, that have been creepy beyond the word creepy. It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom. I mean, come on, think about it. You know, think of some of the people we've had. Now, this guy comes on, claims to be able to break things over his head.
Well, I can check him out for you.
Oh, well, that's just great,
Dick. But if you're going to check somebody out, the best thing to have done would have been to check the guy out before he comes on here and starts clucking like a chicken and doing whatever that... Jesus. And what the hell was that?
Well, it sounded like he was tasing himself.
Tasing himself? It sounded to me like he had the recording of that one guy being tased.
No, I think he was tasing himself. That would be my understanding.
Your understanding? Your understanding based on what?
Well, I mean...
That sounded like the recording of that guy that got tased. That guy is full of crap from beginning to end, full of crap. All right, Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He'll be on with us in just a moment.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to the guy.
Phil, I don't want to talk to you. He says he's being in, he's in the middle of a, he says he's in the middle of a stampede. And he's just...
Cliff King, help! Help! It's Cliff King.
Okay, so well, if he was in the middle of a stampede, Phil,
That would be bad. That would be bad.
And you have that man's death on your conscience, and you don't care.
No, I don't.
All right, I'll call him up and tell him that.
Yeah, you tell him that in the middle of the stampede. Cliff King, friend of all. Okay, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to be joining us here in just a moment to talk about some of the safety tips that one should keep in mind for this holiday season. I say holiday season, for the summer season. Summer is like a holiday, though, man. It's like a marvelous festive thing that just, you know, that just keeps right on keeping on, man. I love it. Jay Santos will be joining us with that, and I think we'll also have Rudy Canozo on from Jutem Lingerie to talk about some of the summer fashions. But first, let's get Jay up on the line here from the great city of Torrance, California. And Jay, it's nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
Oh, Phil, I'm doing very well. I haven't talked to you since your one-man show at the Hollywood Improv.
That's right. That's right. Jay was at the one-man show, and you were pointing out to me some of the what you thought were safety issues involving the Improv.
Well, I thought that they should have had more well-lit exits and this kind of thing, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. I certainly am grateful for the opportunity to have spoken to people. I'm sorry I got on that one guy's table. Apparently, he said that my part of my body got close to his nose or face or something.
Well, when you stood on that guy's table and you were looking at something, your crotch...
Yeah, I heard about this.
I was there. I saw it. Your crotch got about an inch from this guy's nose.
Yeah, what is that, your M&M moment?
Excuse me, Phil, not my M&M. I'm trying to look and see my M&M. I'm trying to look and see the lighting.
Well, you're standing on a guy's table, that's all.
All right, I'm standing on a guy's table. He didn't seem to be upset about it. God damn, man. I mean, you really, Phil, have to understand what I'm doing for a living out here. I'm trying to protect lives. I'm trying to save a lot.
You're not doing it for a living. You're doing a volunteer. The thing you do for a living is security guard.
All right, but I mean, okay, you know, you got me there. But what I'm saying is, so to speak, manner of speaking.
Yeah, okay. Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
What does that mean when you go, yeah, okay? I mean, I'm trying to say to you...
I understand, but I need to move this along. Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be on the beaches of Southern California. I know that the Citizens Auxiliary Police is spread kind of thin, but are you guys going to be actually doing lifeguard duty?
Well, among the great many people that are charged with the safety of the public, we do have our lifeguards, and as we like to take a peek over the shoulder of police, make sure they're taking care of business... we have not yet peeked over the shoulder of the lifeguards, Southern California lifeguards, the L.A. County, Ventura County, Orange County beaches, and all the beaches across America in a similar situation. We'll be out there, and we'll have on the Citizens Auxiliary Police swimming trunks, Citizens Auxiliary Police pith helmets, Citizens Auxiliary Police blue armband, but we will not be wearing shirts, and we will, instead of the Bermuda shorts, we will have on large baggy blue trunks that will have a very prominent Citizens Auxiliary Police patch on the side of that. If we see anyone that is in need of rescue, anyone that is in need of being taken out of the water because they have a difficult time swimming or have been overcome by the splash of a wave or anything like that, then we will make a move to try to extract that person from the ocean. We do recommend that while body surfing and surfing and getting into deep water looks exciting, the fact of the matter is, when a wave comes down on you, like one of the gigantic waves that you do see sometime, that'll come down on top of you, you may never come up. Because what will happen is you get into what's called a washing machine spin cycle situation where the wave is just churning you about and churning you about. And by the time you wash up on shore, there's nothing can be done for you. So I would be very careful if I was you, out in the waves and not to go too far out and to get splashed by a wave.
Now, Jay, you know, people that are experienced swimmers can body surf. People that are experienced surfers can do the same thing. People can get into deep water and be fine. So are you talking about inexperienced swimmers?
I'm talking about anybody, Phil, because you may be the most experienced swimmer in the world. When a wave picks you up and puts you into that spin cycle, you're nothing more. You're nothing. You're nothing to no one. You can't even be loved at that point. You can't even be respected at that point because you're nothing. And if it's ever happened to you, I knew. I came out of California back in the mid-70s, and I went out of ocean, and I tried to do some body surfing. I got picked up by a wave. I was crushed down. I was picked up again and then crushed and smashed down yet again. And just when I thought I could come out of the water and maybe breathe a breath of air, I got picked up and crippled up and crushed, you know, and everything. And I was so wiped out and just taken by that wave and toyed with and made to do the bidding of the wave that when I come out of the water, my swim trunks were down around my ankles. Now, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that...
Well, can we take a break and get back to talking to you about the swimming safety and safety during the summer?
Certainly, but I want people to consider that, Phil. So before you start talking about experienced swimmer, have care.
All right, well, world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Boy, you know something, anything's better than that Cliff King, but if this guy Santos is trying to tell me that...
I have a few questions for him as well.
Well, you're a mother. You have a young boy.
Well, look, the Delmonico is a very experienced... Delmonico is the kind of kid that would be out there saving the lives, okay, of other swimmers, so I would not... If I were you, I would not worry about the Delmonico. I'm Margaret Gray.
The mother of the Delmonico.
Yes, that's...
All right, we'll be right back. Here's Riff Raff and Love Glaciers on the Phil Henry Show featuring Childish Gambino. And we are the world-famous Phil Henry Show on our Listen Live line as well as TuneIn free every morning starting at 9 a.m. live, 9 a.m. Pacific, and the podcast dropping every day thereafter, you know, just a little bit after the show. So each and every day we have our free show, our free podcast, and it's live each and every day. And then after 5 days it goes behind the paywall and a new one. Pops right on up in there. If you'll pardon the expression, pops up. She done got intoxicated, girlfriend is furious. Hey. Just in case, I packed the paper in the briefcase. Rainwater roof taste, Pistol Pete, white Louis suitcase. Who can sing the hook like Frankie Lyman? Chartreuse the Bay, watch David Hasselhoff hell. Or the Allen Iverson braid zigzags on designing. Soft and beautiful. This is General Galen Shaw, and I've got one question for you. Have you seen the 2014 corpse? The 2014 corpse. A new hypersonic car from Bovine. The new 2014 corpse can go faster than the speed of sound. That's right, but it has to be elevated. It cannot do it on a road. It must be flying. And right now we're trying to get FAA clearance, and then it's yours. You can fly that thing all over the skies, ramming into other people and even crashing into people's houses. It's the hypersonic 2014 corpse. And remember, they don't call it a corpse for nothing. I made that up. The people... Yeah.
That's great.
Nigga, hold up. What is this? We ain't supposed to be here. Yeah, your name wasn't on that list. We even checked the email that was sent from up above. Or rather, all around us. Screams in my dreams like a One Direction concert. So we're on our own, so alone in the universe. We sent people to the moon and now we know just the two of us by heart. My heart, I don't want to explain it. I knew it, he bullshit, he up his own anus. Instagrams with his fans, man, he wish he was famous. Stop talking about
that's Riff Raff on an album called Neon Iron and Love Glaciers with Childish Gambino. That's good.
That's a click to pick.
That is a click to pick here on the Phil Henry Show. I like that. All right. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is on the line with us. We're going to get back to him in just a moment, but we also have, we got to get to our main man. We haven't talked to him at all, and that is Bob Bakian. Bob Bakian up in the chopper telling us about the traffic this morning. Bob, how's it going?
I'm Philip Hill, downtown here, looking around the side, and in the foothill areas. We've got a lot of visiting a break. There's a guy taking a break down there, taking a pee in a creek. This is Bob Bakian, and this is traffic.
Hey, this is Bud Dickman, and reminding you that the Bud Dickman Comedy Festival is coming. That's right, a lineup of comedians, and there's going to be beer, and we're going to have pork chops, and everything. The Bud Dickman Comedy Festivities will be starting shortly this summer at my house.
Mine goes round like a roundabout. You know, if that's true, I gotta be there.
It's true. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it.
Oh, my God.
I don't mean any gay by that.
The Bud Dickman Comedy Festival.
That's right. That's right.
Sweeter than spring. All right, Phil Henry Show with our good close personal friend here, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking with Jay about the summer months and safety at the beach, safety everywhere, as Jay and the Citizens Auxiliary Police fan out to try to help us all make our way this summer. So, Jay, you were talking about swimming.
I'm talking about the Citizens Auxiliary Police has their eye on the beaches of Southern California. Now, the lifeguards are not particularly aware, I don't think, Phil, of how violated and how humiliated you can be when you come out of the ocean after you've been smashed down and crushed down. As I was mentioning, I had come out to California mid-70s, and I was out at the beach, and I was out body surfing. Everyone said to me, hey, why don't you go body surfing? And I'm saying, well, what's that? And they go, it's just catch the wave and swim it in. I said, I had to swim a wave in, and that doesn't sound like no big deal. So I went out, and I started to body surf the wave, and I body surfed and body surfed and body surfed. And the wave picked me up and crushed me down to the bottom of the sea. And
well, you mean the bottom of the sea. I mean, you're only out about...
Can I finish what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll get to you, Dickman, in a minute, okay? Because I anticipate you butting in.
Yeah, well, you said the bottom of the sea.
Shut up, bud. Let him finish.
So, thank you, Phil. So, I was picked up by the wave, and then I was smashed down to the sand. And just when I thought, oh, thank God, that's all, that's the worst that can happen, I got picked up again and crushed down again. And I sort of panicked then. Because I thought, right now, the wave is doing anything it wants of me. I'm like the wave's bitch, and I you know, said that to myself and to, you know, which there was nobody there to say it to. Because if there was, they would not have been able to have heard me. So I was thinking...
You're in a panic. You're thinking...
You're thinking that you're going to die?
I never think I'm going to die, because as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I do have options on how to deal with a wave. But the wave was disrespecting... And I know that a wave can't disrespect you, but it's all about respect. And I got picked up again, I got crushed down. And by the time I crawled onto the sand, my underwear had been pulled, I mean my swimming trunks, but it's the same thing. You always think of it as underwear, because I wear my swimming trunks as underwear if I know I'm going to go to the beach.
You had your swimming trunks on under your... Were you wearing your clothes in the ocean?
No, sir, I wasn't wearing my clothes.
No, he was thinking of his swimming trunks.
You were in your swimming trunks.
I was in my swimming trunks, yeah, but so I got out, or I mean I crawled onto the sand, and my shorts had been pulled down to around mid-shin to ankle, and I had no underwear on. You don't wear underwear with your swimming trunks, you know that, right?
You know, it's funny, it's interesting, but some people have taken to wearing underwear with their swimming trunks.
Well, do you?
No, I don't, but there's some people who do.
Well, I didn't, and the wave had picked me up and smashed me down and picked me up and smashed me down. And then when I come out, my butt and everything is hanging in the breeze, and I heard people going, ha ha. You know, there were a lot of people was laughing. And I said to myself, I'll never allow that to happen again without making sure that people are more informed about safety. And that's what's really driven me all these years.
Jay, this is Margaret. Now, I'm reading in the Citizens Auxiliary Police summer 2014 bulletin. A wave is a powerful and despicable thing. While it is simply a force of nature, it can do things to humiliate, to use, to manipulate, and to exploit you. Could you describe what you mean by that?
No. What does that mean? Yeah.
All right, let him explain.
What I mean by that, Margaret, is... Well, a wave is simply a force of nature. It's not a person. It's not a thing. It's not an entity. A wave will do to you worse stuff than any human could ever do to you. It will torture you. It will slap you around. It will pick you up and crush you down, crush you down, and crush you down. And then when it's all done, pulls your pants down and then kicks your ass out of the water and goes, ha-ha. Now, I know the wave's not really going ha-ha, but it's brought me to a point where I feel a certain resentment. And that's why I want to be out there with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and, of course, the Citizens Auxiliary Squids and the Squidettes. And
now, what are the Squids and Squidettes?
Those are our youth corps. And
oh, you have young people helping you.
Yes, we have young kids anywhere from 22 to 45. And what we do...
Well, what do you mean young kids, 22 to 45?
Well, that's our youth corps, but I mean, I can't discriminate or anything.
Well, I thought you meant like... When you talk about a youth corps, aren't you talking about kids?
Okay, you're not going to have no kid. Do you want to rely on some little teeny kid to drag you out of a wave that's already humiliated you to the point where you pull your pants down? No, I don't need that, and I sure as hell don't want to come out of the wave after having my pants pulled down to have some 8-year-old girl standing there and going, oh, here, Mr. Santos, let me help you, you know, save your life, even though your pants are pulled down.
Well, that is a good point.
Well, the whole premise sounds kind of whack, if you want my opinion.
What's that supposed to mean?
All I'm telling you, Jay, is if you're out there in the ocean and you are drowning and you need help, you need help. Now, you call them the squids and squidettes. It sounded to me like there was a sort of a youth corps thing. I see the kids every day on the beach being trained in life-saving procedure. They have the lifeguard.
Yeah, right there. Phil's right. The lifeguards train these kids every day, Santos. What do you think you're trying to pull?
Hey, wait a second. What do you mean, what am I trying to pull? I'm saying our squidettes are squid and squidette. Okay, and we got the squidette. That's 22 to 45. If you want a youth corps, we do have 18, 22, and those are the clams. And you could be a bucket of clam. If you're a bucket of clams...
Wait, hold on for a minute. What's a bucket of clams?
Do you mind if I explain it? This is our youth corps, ages 18 to 22. That's our first level. You're in a bucket of clam, and you're a clam.
I think that what you're doing here is a dumb thing. It sounds dumb.
Margaret, you know, I'm used to insult...
No, I'm not insulting you. I don't mean to, but I'm just telling you it's dumb. Dumb, D-U-M-B, dumb, what you're doing. You've got the squidettes and the squids, a bucket of clams.
Ms. Gray, you're starting to laugh.
No, I am not laughing. May I be excused?
No, you may not. No, you may not.
I beg your pardon?
No, you may not. I've got people getting up and leaving the studio all the time. No.
What a dick.
You know, Mr. Henry, you put up with... You're giving me a hard time about having my pants yanked down. Listen to that.
I'm not giving you a hard time about having your pants yanked down. I am saying this. I doubt very seriously whether anything you're doing with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, whether it's with the squids and squidettes, whether you're a clam or in a bucket of
I'm just trying to tell you. Have you been in a wave and you've been crushed down and your pants come down?
What is it with you and the pants coming down, man?
It happens. Tell me it don't happen.
Of course it happens. Yes, it does happen. Women lose their tops. Guys have their pants yanked down. That's the ocean. It's a marvelous thing. It's powerful. It happens. But I don't certainly look upon it as I'm doing battle with something that's intent on humiliating me. You know, the forces of nature are such that one, you know, you take your chances. The ocean is something we all ought to be familiar with. You shouldn't ever get into any body of water if you don't know how to swim.
Well, see, right there, I disagree, because there's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. There's a lot of people that don't know how to swim. And what are you going to say to them? You can't go out there? Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to say to them. No, you cannot go. Do you know how to swim? No, I don't. Well, you don't get to go out there. Otherwise, we got to go drag your dead ass out of that water, man. And that means extra paperwork for me.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Ring, you can quote Burt Lancaster and from here to eternity all you want.
That's it. I just placed it. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, you're welcome. But here's the bottom line on all of that.
No, the bottom line on it is you coming out of the water with your pants down. And you take that to being a devastatingly humiliating experience.
I'll just leave it that. Let the audience decide. All right, the audience decide. If you go into any situation where you're picked up, squished down, picked up and squished down, and crushed down and squished down, and then you try to breathe and it squishes you again, and then as you crawl to safety, the last thing it does is goes ha 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 and pulls your pants down, that's the ocean. And you got to have some serious, not just respect for that, but you got to turn around and tell it you're never going to do that again.
Look, Jay.
Oh, hold on for a minute.
This is an emotional part for him, Phil.
I was there in 1975. I come out of the water with my pants down. I swore.
Jake.
No, I swore. I never let no ocean do it again.
Thank you for your service to our community.
That's all I'm looking
for. Thank you for your service to our community. I think, in my opinion, and I know you're a safety expert, so tell me, is teaching people how to swim?
You're never going to teach nobody how to swim, Mr. Henry. You're never going to teach nobody how to swim. It's something that's just beyond the ability of a lot of people. They just don't. They're too uncoordinated and I don't mean to say, but too spastic and retarded.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jay, for that, and I hope and pray that in the future days and future years that no more people get crushed and squished and have their pants pulled down by the ocean.
Why don't I believe you?
All right, thank you very much, Jay.
But why don't I...
You know, I take your side, but you were a little cruel with him.
Yeah, he started to get emotional there, Henry. Hey, since when am I Henry all of a sudden? Well, you call me Shaw, don't you? No, I do not. I call you General Shaw. I don't like that Henry stuff. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. No, call me Phil. You can call me Phil.
Yeah, I'd call you Mr. Henry, though.
Yeah, you do, because I demand that you do. You too, Robert, but you can call me Phil.
Say, all of a sudden, you got a real... What is it with you with the hard-ass act? I'm just trying to tell you, this guy Santos had an emotional break there. After the ocean, he comes out of the ocean, he's got nothing on. He's got nothing on but his ass... Getting singed by all that wind. Have you ever had a... Has your ass ever been bare in a high ocean wind? No, it hasn't. Mine has. What are you laughing at?
I'm just wondering, when was that?
Yeah, when was that? Oh, when was that? Excuse me.
Hey, General, you want to get some... You will?
No, and get your paws off of me. Has your ass ever been singed in a high ocean wind?
Well, you know what I mean.
I know the wind gets going out there, man. There's no question about it. No question about it. Man, I'll tell you, and some days on the beach, and we were up at Big Sur, I don't know, I was up there 7 or 8 years ago. We were down on the sand there at Julia Pfeiffer Beach.
Yes, is that the beach? It's named after the lady that used to draw the cartoons.
No, that's Jules Pfeiffer. That's the cartoon. This is Julia Pfeiffer. Has nothing to do with Jules Pfeiffer, the guy. You mean the guy that wrote Carnal... Is that the guy that wrote Carnal Knowledge?
Yes. Didn't they named a beach after him?
No, they did not name a beach after him. And if they did, they got his gender wrong. No, Julia Pfeiffer Beach is in
Big Sur. I know it well, Phil. We have very dear friends who live up there. Constance and Bill Beckett, you know them. They have the home under the High Arch Bridge. We've known them for years. We always vacation with them, so I'm very familiar with Big Sur. I just wanted to know, was Julia Pfeiffer the one that drew the cartoons for the L.A. Times? You've disabused me of that. Thank you. You've humiliated me.
Yeah, I pulled your pants down as you come out of the surf.
Yes.
Anyway, we went up on the beach. The wind will get going so hard that, it is a son of a bitch up there, man. You know, and you got to take shelter where you can find it. You get behind, they got all those dead logs on the beach and everything. And the wind has been blowing down here. I don't know what the story is, you know, other than the fact that the world's coming to end because it's climate change and all that stuff. But there sure has been a hell of a lot of wind over the last, like, 12 months around here, man. And I'm telling you, it ain't all that boogie-woogie on one's paint job. All right.
Yeah, no kidding about that, Mr. Henry.
All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show with more here. And here is T.I. with a thing called No Mediocre. And this is with Iggy Azalea. So how about that, huh?
Iggy Azalea, you know, I've changed my mind about her.
Fuck bad bitches, I don't want no mediocre. No, don't want no mediocre, I don't want no mediocre. No, bad bitches only, ain't no mediocre. No, don't want no world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, hello and welcome to the Elcott Show. I'm Ed Elcott. I am a doctor of divinity. And I want to welcome you here to the Phil Henry Podcast today. It might be something that you're not quite used to listening to, but nonetheless, we'll try and fill the shoes of Phil Henry admirably here on Elcott. Elcott, the next step. Well, this is probably not what you were expecting. And if I were you, I'd probably be a little bit taken aback or surprised at, the different tonality and presentation of the Phil Henry Podcast. To tell you a little bit about myself and how I came to be hosting the podcast today, I'm a very close friend of one of Phil's friends, Margaret Gray, and I work closely with Dean Wheeler at the Northern California Holistic Center. I give meditation classes there as well as yoga instruction. I also instruct a variety of different physical disciplines, aromatherapies, body lotions, tantric yoga exercise, and so on. And it's not quite as fancy, I think, as it sounds. It's simply ways to make this life of ours a more successful undertaking, a more pleasant journey
through the various mysteries that we're presented with every day in this thing called life. People call me Elcott. That is my last name. I prefer that. If you want to call me Edward, you may. Sometimes I go by the name Ed, which was my name in pre-life. And by pre-life, what we mean really is pre-life is that period of life that existed before awareness. So if you were Ed, or you were Phil, for instance, or you were Margaret, or Jerry, or Jimmy, this was pre-life, pre-consciousness, the pre-awareness that you eventually did achieve. And at that point, you then go by your universal name. And if your universal name is reflective of the three distinct consonants, Elcott, as in El-Al, L-A, or A-L, or A-B, then it becomes Elcott or Elwood. If your first name is Cynthia and you're a man, and that does occur, as humorous as that may sound, if your first name, then you default to Elcott. So all names flow from the essential Elcott base, and Elcott is really the root name of all surnames here on Earth, as it was seeded here by the race of giants, and we'll get into our discussion of them, the Mother Father. The Mother Father gave us our identity, and to them we are forever grateful, and we offer our gratitude, all El Elcott, all El Elcott, all El Elcott. This is simply a salutation of beneficence to the Mother Father race, the master race that achieved the lineal in seating us here on our home, which is Earth. This, of course, is our home, and this will be our home as long as we wish it to be. It's a beautiful place, but at some point, of course, we will thrust ourselves, as the life force does. Humans thrust themselves. The essential seed of life thrusts itself. The energy of life, as was so noted by the poet, thrust itself up through the shaft of the blade of grass or the branch of a tree. Good morning and welcome. Wherever you are, it may be afternoon. I am Edward Elcott, Dr. Edward Elcott of the National Grace Institute and the Grace Ashram, which is located in northern New York State. We took over the properties that were at that time being held in trust by the state of New York. They had been, at one point, the home meditation centers for Dr. Timothy Leary and the League of Spiritual Discovery. Elcott is who I am, but Elcott is who I are. You see, I am an individual, but I'm also all of you. And so in speaking for all of you, I say, I are Elcott. And in so speaking for all of you, I speak for my very fondest desires for you. Am I God? No, I am not God. But I speak as if I'm God, so that you will know the words I speak are truth. I, Ed Elcott, died many years ago, spiritually and mentally. But I, as Elcott, now live among you. I walk and move among you. No matter where you are or what you're doing, I could very well be right next to you. I'm not there to intrude. I'm certainly not there to compromise any of your privacy. But I do try and see what you need. And that is why I are, say, I are Elcott. I are not take drugs no more. You'll notice that the verbiage and grammar sounds fractured, and yet that is exactly what I mean to say as Elcott. I are not take drugs no more, because I are not. You'll say to me, well, Elcott, why can't you say we don't take drugs anymore? Elcott no do that. Elcott no do that. Elcott speaks for you, but for him. Who am I? I'm Edward Elcott. But I'm also speaking as Elcott. So you see, there's a lot of different levels of existence and a great many planes of existence and planes of awareness that we have to work through on our journey together today on The Phil Hendry Show, co-hosted here by yours truly, Elcott.
Dr. Edward Elcott is available for readings. At the end of this program, we'll give you a special toll-free number that you can call, and Dr. Elcott will be available at that time. Dr. Edward Elcott's books can be obtained by the National Elevation Book Exchange and Consciousness In and Out. I.R. Elcott, the foundational text of our spiritual journey, is available through the Elcott Foundation, Wenapaw, New York.
We certainly do thank you for joining us. And I did ask the producers of the Phil Hendry podcast if they wouldn't mind allowing us to sort of change the direction a little bit and use our own public service announcements and commercials and so forth. And they were very gracious enough to say, yes, we could. Well, what do we mean when we talk about the four essential miracles? We talk of the four essential miracles, which are invisibility. That's number one. X-ray vision is number two. The ability to absorb any kind of violent act and have it not affect the physical body. For instance, being able to repel bullets. That's three. And finally, and most assuredly, the fourth miracle is the ability to fly. These are the four miracles as articulated to us by the Mother, Father, and the foundational race when Elcott first made his appearance. The four miracles: X-ray vision, invisibility, bullets bouncing off your chest, and being able to fly. Now, we're going to talk about these in the various stages that they appear. And with me today is Dr. Jerome Kaiser. He is Elcott East, so he has elevated to the level of Godhead. And Dr. Kaiser, I'm very, very pleased to meet you. I'm glad that you join us here today. Thank you. And Dr. Kaiser, tell us, as we explore the four miracles, that you as an Elcott and I as Elcott East, tell us about the four miracles achieved.
The four miracles are achieved in thus manner, and you said it very well, Elcott. Invisibility, X-ray vision, bullets bouncing off your chest, and flying. I received an interesting letter last week from a gentleman writing to me, and he seemed a bit nonplussed. He said, isn't that what Superman was able to do? And I said, yes, yes, it's exactly what Superman was able to do. And
what did the gentleman say to that?
He said, well, it's profound in its implications, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I had the sense that I'd made a breakthrough with him.
When we talk of the four miracles, though, and the wisdom that you achieve by being invisible, let's talk about invisibility and what it can and can't be used for.
Well, the instinct immediately is to enter the bedroom of a young lady, let's say, and watch her undress.
Yeah, I know. I plead guilty to that.
Of course, and that is natural. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of at all. The instinct is, for instance, to get into bed with a young lady, if you're invisible, when she's naked, and to fondle her while she's naked. But she can feel your hands, invisible hands, feeling her up. And that's not the best use of invisibility, but that's the instinct. The second use of invisibility is to masturbate openly while you're invisible. I don't think anyone has achieved that hasn't done that after seeing a naked woman hiding in her closet, being invisible and seeing everything you can. The next thing, of course, is X-ray vision, which you're going to try out on a lot of different people, and I would say it's nothing to be ashamed of if your X-ray vision, if you use your X-ray vision to look through the dress of your mother or your mother-in-law or someone you would never countenance wanting to.
But it is the instinct, isn't it?
It's the instinct, but we have to be aware of that, and we have to guard against that.
I see. Doctor, you'll stay with us. Elcott West is going to stay with us.
It would be my pleasure, yes.
As we continue here, I am Elcott. I are not on drugs, and you are. We all are. Advancing toward that great miracle where you and I, Elcott West, and all other pinnacles of wisdom will eventually combine to create the Elcott Factor. Well, that's an awful lot to digest. Let's take another break and be right back. And Elcott East is going to be with us, and we're going to continue to explore the four miracles and the five ways through the gigantic abnormality. And this is a challenge that I hope we can all meet bravely. The five ways to the gigantic abnormality and what that means in just a moment.
This is the Elcott Hour, a presentation of the University of Wampanoag, New York. Doctors Elcott and Elcott East and West are here provided by the staff and faculty of New York State University at Willingsley.
I'm going to be speaking later on after the broadcast to my very close friend, Ronald Berman. And Ronald runs the Elasticity Institute, which is far and away the finest institute for exploring the limits of mind. When we use that term elasticity, I think some people think, well, is my mind made out of rubber, you know?
No, it's not made out of rubber, but it's a combination of awarenesses. The human race has been here for many, many billions of years. Don't even fool yourself. The human race has been here. They say the human race is only several million years old, but the human race has always been somewhere and has made its presence known. We ourselves are as old as time. We ourselves are as old as the Big Bang, because all matter created at the Big Bang exists today.
Yes.
But the four miracles and the five ways through the gigantic abnormality, the four miracles being invisibility, bullets bouncing off your chest, flying, and X-ray vision, that then lends itself to the five ways through the gigantic abnormality. And the five ways are violence, stupidity, patience, teamwork, and self-mutilation. And all of those sound...
Those are only four, and we should let people know that when we say the five ways of going through abnormality, we mean four.
Well, we mean five. We mean five.
All right, this is... I've always had a tough one with this.
Everyone does. It sounds as if I said four things, but I actually said five. So I said self-mutilation, violence, stupidity, and one, I guess there's only three.
Self-mutilation, violence, stupidity, and...
Laughter, that was it, laughter.
Laughter.
Yes, those are the five.
Okay, whatever you say.
Right.
Isn't it exciting? You know, wisdom is always exciting. The journey to wisdom is always exciting. You can't let it frustrate you, and you certainly can't allow it to create doubt where no doubt exists. Now, in these next few minutes here on the Phil Hendry Podcast, I'd like to talk about myself as Elcott the Wonderful. I told you about myself as Ed Elcott, Edward Elcott, Dr. Edward Elcott, Elcott, Elcott West, and now Elcott the Wonderful. The further away I get from my birth surname, even though the human race seeded here by the mother-father race many billions of years ago, I want to get away from my earthbound nature, and I want to get away, frankly, from my Elcott nature. My next sojourn will be to elevate myself to wonderful. And once I am able to do that, then I'm excited to tell you I've achieved transparency. I am neither here nor there. I am an invisible slip of... I'm a bit of air. I'm not even air. I'm a wisping... How do you describe it, Elcott East?
I'm Elcott West.
Elcott West.
I describe it, we become almost a nuisance. We're not... We're in the air, in the room, but people perceive us as some dust in their nose.
Isn't that something?
Yes. So, we are alive, and we're vital, but to the rest of our species, we have become a something to blow, if you want to put it simply, something to blow out of their nose.
All right. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to ask all of you to join hands with your other, and if your other isn't home, then join hands with anyone who is septern. And if no one in the... And I know you referred to this, Elcott West.
If no one is septern in your home unit, then you may septern as well. You may septern yourself, and you can dilate. And sometimes that's more satisfying than the communal aspect.
All right. So what we're going to do now is join hands. And we are going to achieve, hopefully, the state of wonderful, if you, of course, are septern, or if you have stated yourself as Elcott East or West, and you have given up your surname, and you are now ready to join Mother, Father, then by all means. Elcott West, west of the sun. Sightings, day and night. I see the lighthouse from which my species came to this world, gladdened, uplifted, and immersed. And whence the mother father departed, Elcott IR.
Elcott IR.
Elcott IR, I are not take drugs.
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 Elcott IR, I are.
You am.
I am.
You am.
I am.
You am. Boom.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed. I felt that, didn't you?
I did, yes.
That is wonder. Now, for those of you that have not been a part of our rituals, what you heard there was a hearkening back to the initial sounds that our early people heard when the mother-father departed. You heard an approximation of the antimatter-matter machines, the engines, ditodes, and pivoline, which are master mother-father race used to propel themselves from this planet. You heard me approximate that sound. That's why you heard that.
Sort of almost the rumbling of an engine.
Yes. IR represents, as you know, our communion with all beings, not only human, but animal life and plant life. And it takes a very strong sense of humility to lower yourself to the level of plant life. You can be no better than moss, grass, a weed. You can be no better than the lowest form of plant life. Some people say, does that include insect? It includes all vibratory life. And your ego will become compressed the lower you get, until finally you're nothing more than a bug or a flea on a cat. You think it's lowering yourself to be a cat? Think about being a bug or a flea on that cat. That's what I am, even though I are Elcar, I are Elcar, I are Elcar. Well, this is Dr. Edward Elcott, And you'll notice, did you see what happened there?
You transferred.
I did transfer into Elkar. And that'll happen. Don't let it frighten you. Elkar is the demon. Elkar is the demon. It must be defeated. Elkar will convince you that being Elkar is as good as being Elkot West. Don't believe the demon. It lies. It lies to deceive you. It tells lies and mixes them with the truth so that you're deceived and yet you have elation and hope. You hate and yet you think you can beat it. You want to kill it, but you want to live with it and marry it. This is the thing that we're up against here with our challenges in life. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about passageways and the back alley of truth right after this. Elkot West and Elkar the Demon, coming next.
Hello, Richard Sherman here from the University of Wampa, New York. We're giving lectures every Saturday, and there's still a place for you, so sign up for our lecture series. We'll be talking about many of the things that Edward Elkot is talking about today, along with his friend Elkot East, Elkot the Wonderful, and how we can take those four miracles and the five ways through the giant abnormality to create a state of wonderful. At which point, of course, the master race returns, powers down, and uplifts using hydraulics. Uplift using hydraulics will be the name of our lecture this Saturday, so by all means, join us, won't you?
There is a limited number of seats available at Wampa University's lecture series.
Well, welcome back, and this is Dr. Edward Elkot, and you're listening to today's Phil Henry podcast, a little something different for you, as we explore the Nexus. And of course, the Nexus is...
I tell a joke, and the joke goes like this. The Nexus is what's next. Us.
Ah.
Yes. So what's next? Us. And that's the communion that you're talking about, Ed. When we say that we are next, we're really saying the Nexus, the beginning. Humility is a great thing, and I think that I'm going to speak on that.
Talk to me about humility.
Humility is being aware of your essential insect nature, that you're nothing more than an insect. Humility is the wife of did you see Eric Cantor? We were talking about the politician that got beaten.
He got defeated, you know.
He got defeated. His wife was standing next to him as he gave his concession speech, smiling, and you know that she hated every minute of it. She didn't know real humility. She looked as if she despised the very ground that he walked on, because he'd promised her a good life. The corridors of power in Washington were open to them. Eric Cantor was an up-and-comer in Washington, D.C. He was going to be the next big thing. And something happened. He was defeated. And now he stands humiliated. Stands with his wife, who looks like she hates his guts.
And why? Why do you suppose?
Because what he promised her was a lie. He promised her the corridors of power, and they did not open for him. In fact, they have closed, and now they have to go back to their dirty, filthy little district in Virginia and talk to all those dirty, filthy people that he doesn't really want to talk to. He wants to talk to the heavy hitters and the big rollers, the high rollers in Washington. He doesn't want to go back to his filthy district in Virginia and talk to those voters.
And you can see the look on the wife.
The look on the wife's face is one of abject misery, because she knows that she has to go back to Virginia and talk to those dirty, filthy people that she thought she'd left behind.
Fascinating. We're talking about humility here on Elkot. Elkot the Wonderful. I are wonderful. It's one of the prayers that we seek. In Elkot and Elkar, we don't
say we pray. We seek to pray. If we're successful, we're success. But if we're not successful, but we seek to pray in Elkhart. And the prayer is as follows. I.R. Elkhart and I.R. Elkar and the dirty, filthy little people of the District of Virginia, from where I come, I can't avoid. I have to go and sit and eat a meal with them.
Amen.
Now that sounds like something Eric Cantor would be saying to himself in a nightmare. But what we've just given Eric Cantor is a way through the abnormality, a way to integrate himself back into the fold of Virginia, the voters of Virginia and their ham dinners and their lousy little lives. You see, Elkhart and Elkar, we don't acknowledge the lousy, stinking, rotten lives of a great many of these people in Virginia and elsewhere. We have elevated ourselves. I live... How would you describe my home?
You live in a dump?
I live in a dump. I really do. I live in a dump, a shack. It is a... It's a wonder that I don't come down with every kind of disease. Typhus, clap. And yet I'm not aware of any of it. Because my humility is so thorough, I have lowered myself to the level of a filthy, like a maggot. That's what I am. That I'm now free. I'm free to be happy and to accept what I am. Just another slob.
And I think that is the key for Ed Elkhart, because now you're wonderful.
I am wonderful. Now you, on the other hand, you still live in a nice house.
I do. And I can sit here with you and tell you I live in a nice house. I have completed humility training, but my humility did not necessitate that I live like a pig in a sty like you do. My humility necessitated that I continue to live well on my wife's family's money. And so I do. And yet you and I come together every week on this program and we talk as equals, even though you know you're going back home tonight.
I'm going back home to a filthy pigsty.
Yes. And you don't even want to clean it up, do you?
I can't be bothered.
That is what we're talking about, folks. The fact that I am Elkhart East, the wonderful, and I can live on my wife's money, and Elkhart West, Elkar, Ed Elkhart, still lives like a slob and a swine in a garbage can. One of the worst parts of town I've ever seen, and I've been through all of them because at one time I visited all of them, and you can guess what I was looking for. You got it. Everything you can think about, I was looking for it. And,
So that's why you're my hero.
I am your hero. I am your hero. Well, let's end with a prayer.
We'll end with a prayer. Again, we seek to pray. We don't pray. We seek. I are a pig. I live in a sty. My humility has lowered me to the level of an insect, probably an insect that carries poison that can deliver a fever that could kill thousands, if not millions. That's what I are.
Elkar. Elkar.
Be gone, Elkar.
Elkhart.
The West.
Hazabuza.
Kanapalooza. Well, that was invigorating. I want to thank you very much, Elkhart East, for being with us. Elkhart East.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again next time on Elkhart. My name is Ed Elkhart. I do appreciate your patronage. And we'll see you. Phil Hendry will be back on Monday. The Phil Hendry website, of course, encourages you to get a backstage pass. I was leveled out. Now I'm angry because of this music. I know, no one.